League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back.
Hello! Thursday! Little shuffle of the deck. Not like you've ever experienced that here before, but why not experience it again? Barry is Willie Nelson on the road again. Therefore, Trap J, Travis. Thank you.
What's uppers?
Thank you, Travis Johnson. I'm not going to give you the full announcement until you have your headset on.
What's uppers?
TJ before JJ, the man who made 99 famous, 99 problems, and Trap ain't one. Travis Johnson with me, along with Nick Sharara. I am yours truly, Joel Blank, at Pac-Man Joel on Twitter. We have plenty to talk about today. We are getting close to your Texans with a do-or-die type game against the Detroit Lions down on Kirby. So we can start the ball rolling there. We've got some fantasy football questions for if you have them. We have a guy for you. We will have our normal guy at 2:30 p.m. Mark will be here, right?
Yeah, Mark Flood.
Yep, Mark Flood will be here. So Mark's going to be here at 2:30. Oh, by the way, if you were sleeping last night and missed it, I told you so.
They are who we thought they were.
That's exactly right. Your Houston Rockets went out like gangbusters in the first half and then went out and crapped the bed in the second half. Their alphabet consists of 25 letters. There is no D in it. I had some fool's gold and some hopes because of the way they played the final two preseason games. Not so fast. James Harden, as I said and again reiterated yesterday, will have an MVP-like season, and he put up those kind of numbers. But no one put up anything near that around him. And subsequently, they watched a team play one-on-ones on a four-flat system, running no half-court sets, completely playing street ball, running and gunning and chucking from three, and they couldn't stop them either. Can you only imagine what happens when they play the Spurs?
They're going to get whooped.
Okay, that's an easy way to...
Yes. Yeah, no, I mean, it's the thing about the Spurs, and like we talked about earlier, was... They're structured. They are very disciplined. You know, Pop has them guys playing basketball the way they're supposed to play basketball. And these, I mean, when you have a team that plays good in the low post, you have a team that plays good from the outside in the perimeter, it's hard to beat.
They play on
both ends of the court. And then, like you talked about earlier, we had here in Houston, there is no big man to score points in the post for you. And if you don't have that, then that's going to hurt you.
Yeah, I tweeted that this morning. I tweeted my notes because it was too late last night, and I did stay up to watch the end of the game. But I tweeted just my observations in a nutshell, some quick thoughts after watching the game last night. And the one thing that's very painfully evident to me, aside from everything else and some of the things we just mentioned, is the fact they have absolutely no low post scoring at all.
At all.
At least with Dwight Howard and Demo and even Terrence Jones from time to time, you could get a matchup that you could exploit. You could go down on the low block if you needed a basket, or at least you needed the defense to be drawn down because you had a matchup on the low post. You had guys that could go back to the basket and potentially score for you. Demo, probably the best low post scorer they had last year. Demo's still out there. I actually spoke to him. He has no idea what's going on right now, but he has no offer yet, so he's still sitting there. And everybody else that they're putting out at the four or the five, for that matter, is either facing the basket or getting their points off of dunks and putbacks. They're not doing anything in the low post. So therefore, even if you're not the most gifted team on the planet like the Lakers, you don't have anything to worry about in the low post. You just have to guard the break. You have to guard the perimeter. And you have to take your chances playing 150 miles an hour. Well, the Lakers took their chances. Yeah. And guess what? They took home a W because when it mattered, the Rockets were gassed. I thought that their rotations and D'Antoni's rotation was way too long, too many guys in the mix. And three of the guys that he kept putting out there can't shoot.
I mean, here's the thing. If you're not going to play on defense and then you get in a lull on offense, that's going to always hurt you. And what did they score? How many points did they score in the second half?
43
points they scored. I think only 18 in the fourth quarter.
Yep.
You can't win games like that, especially when you got these young guns down here that's like, we're not worried about anything else. We're just going to go. We're going to run you. We're going to run you till your tongues fall off. Yeah. And that's exactly what they did. They kept running up and down the court. I guess they thought James Harden, and let's say right here, he played a good game.
Yep.
He played a great game for the most part.
Except for
when he got, I guess you could say he got tired at the end and didn't really put up too many points. And then his assist, you know, I think he finished with 17 assists.
34 and 17. Which is pretty impressive. And 8 boards.
And I think he had 16 of them with, 8 minutes left to go in the
ballgame?
Yes, he
did. And everybody's like, oh, I guarantee he gets his new career high. Yeah, but you thought he'd get more than one.
Exactly.
Right?
So,
you know what that shows me? And that goes back to what I was saying. When you put Sam Decker and you put Corey Brewer and you put Tyler Ennis and you put KJ McDaniels on the floor and none of them can shoot a jump shot. And you expect James Harden to get it done. What's going to happen is he's still going to get the same opportunities to create for his teammates. He's going to give them the ball. And when they prove they can't make a shot, he's done.
Yeah.
He's taking it back. He's taking it himself. And that's what you saw late in the game. That's why his assists, which were flowing like water for three quarters, dried up like the desert in the fourth quarter because he got tired of watching it happen and watching guys mess up his assists. They couldn't even make layups for the most part or bunnies near the basket. So you look at the rotation, and you look at the guys that played, and I'm looking at 5 guys off the bench in which 4 guys absolutely can't shoot, and the other guy is your backup center, and all he wants to do is shoot with his face facing the basket instead of with his butt on the block.
Yeah.
Nene is past his prime. He's going to give you minutes.
Did Nene ever have a prime?
I think so. I think when he was being... he was a free agent. Denver was really pursuing. The Rockets were pursuing him. That was at a time when he really didn't have all these injuries. I highlighted it yesterday. I mean, over the past 5 years, the games that he's missed due to injury, I mean, you're lucky if you can say it was in the teens, but in most cases it was above 20, and in some cases it was, you know, flirting with 30s. That's not good. And that shows you that your body's breaking down and you're not the player you once were. But they got him on the cheap, so I'm not worried about that. I'm worried about all the money that they spent on the likes of Eric Gordon and Ryan Anderson. And Anderson's 6 of 15, Gordon's 7 of 15. But I didn't like the way that they were used because a lot of times Harden should have been on the court with both those guys. When they were scoring 38 points in the first quarter, they were doing it because he had weapons around him. But when he was in the second half, and particularly in the fourth quarter, he was doing it with guys that weren't making shots.
Yeah.
And again, Eric Gordon's a guy that you don't practice real hard with because of the fact you're worried about his health and his wheels. Ryan Anderson's just a guy that all he is a glorified Matt Bullard. He can shoot it like nobody's business, but he can't score in the low post. He rarely rebounds for you, although he did have 6 boards last night. And defending in the low post is tough. He made Randall look damn good last night.
Randall looked good, period.
And I'm just happy the kid's healthy.
Yeah.
But he made a lot of shots running off of one foot, one hand. If you're defended properly, and you get a hand in his face, and you've got proper position, a lot of those shots are tougher and harder to connect on. He was making things because he just had a complete size and athleticism advantage over Ryan Anderson.
I'm just happy I can be a Laker fan again. You know, with Kobe gone and these young guys playing good basketball, I'm excited that now I can watch Randall, I can watch all these guys out here go up and put points up. They still got to play a little more defense, but the fact is, growing up a Laker fan, an 8-1-8er, I enjoy watching the Lakers finally be able to get young talent and move up and down the floor and look and put on exciting basketball. The last couple of years with Kobe taking all that money, have they done it? No. So, I mean, yeah, I know you Houston fans are mad because I'm speaking highly of the Lakers, but I grew up a Laker fan, 8-1-8er. You know what I mean?
I'm glad you can hang your head on that. That was some of the ugliest basketball
I've ever
seen in my
life. It was ugly basketball, but it still looked better than what they've been putting
up. If I see Jordan Clarkson dropping F-bombs and see D'Angelo Russell say, and they even brought it up on the broadcast, how many times he said, this is my, and they said house, but obviously he was saying something completely different.
Yeah.
But it was like, okay, Chief, slow down, right? You know, you're making one-on-one playground moves, but, you know, that's not fun to watch.
I think Nick Young looked the worst out of all of them.
He did look bad.
He looked bad.
And the only time that he actually got going is doing what actually works on James Harden all the time, which is if you talk to him and you get physical with him,
and he's gonna tap out.
He heads for the hills.
Yeah,
yep. Yeah. He just doesn't like it.
He's gonna tap. And I think that's a product of when you're from the same place that he's from.
Mm-hmm.
You can always check his card and be like, hold on, man, you ain't no gangster out here. What are you talking about?
Yeah, because he likes to make sure the rest of the league thinks that.
Yeah, yeah. And nobody when you from LA, nobody believes that.
You know what we believe? We believe we're here till 4 o'clock. We believe we have plenty to talk about. We got to scratch the surface on the tree in the woods because the World Series had another good game last night. There's some things I want to touch on there. We've got plenty of football to talk about, both college and pro, as Billy O and the boys get ready for the Detroit Lions as the Motor City Madmen come to town in what now looks like a much bigger game than it did when you first looked at the schedule. We'd love to hear from you, 713-780-ESPN. You can call us. You can text us. If you want to tweet us, it's at TrapJ99, at NoHitNick behind the glass, and at Pac-Man Joel with a K. We will definitely get those worthy of it, some exposure on the show that way. We want to know what you want to talk about. So let's rap, let's talk, let's entertain, and let's break it down as we get ready to really get into the show. We're fastening our seatbelts as we speak, and we're ready to roll. This is ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Go, 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 Charlie.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
We like to call it trap shooting at point blank range. I'm the point blank, and he's the trap shooter. That's Trap J99, Travis Johnson. I'm Joel Blank. We're with you till 4 o'clock as we break it all down for you. We were talking about the Rockets before the break. The one thing I said to Trav during the break that I said last night, and I will say again, and that is, you guys better hope that they get this thing straightened out sooner rather than later. Or if you watched the first game last night and you watched Oklahoma City, that's about what you're going to get about midseason out of James Harden. Because Russell Westbrook got really frustrated because he doesn't hide his emotions well.
Not at all.
And he played his ass off. Okay? Yeah. But when his guys are missing shots and not finishing at the rim and missing assists, he probably should have had a triple-double and then some, but guys weren't finishing. He starts screaming and yelling at him. Harden's not to that point yet, but if he gets another dose of those five guys coming off the bench in which four can't score,
yeah,
he's going to get more than frustrated, and it's going to build, and then it's going to explode.
Do you think that's a leadership issue where you got somebody like Russell Westbrook doing that so early and wanting it out of his guys right now because he knows, like, we lost one of our scorers. We lost one of our technically leaders on this team.
Right.
Do you think James looks at it as, I don't care what these guys do? What is it?
We talked yesterday about the fact that, and Mario was in here, about the fact that he just has to work on his leadership. Because it's twofold, and it's like you and I have talked about, okay? First of all, you shouldn't need external motivation to come into every season better than you were the year before and ready to play. You should also make everybody around you better from year to year. And then you should also up your game every single year in terms of your maturity level, in terms of your, I understand he's all about his stats, but more so than anything else, about telling people and showing people by example how to play the right way, both on and off the floor. He's not there yet. We all know he's immature as hell, but you can't argue with the numbers he puts up. But overall, when you look at, is he making everybody better? Well, in the first half, he did. But again, to your question, my answer is, when he's on the floor with Ryan Anderson, Eric Gordon, and veterans, then I think he can feel more, especially with a guy like Ariza on the floor, like he hasn't played as long as these guys, and that's not his place, and he's not going to do it. I think where he has to do it, whether he likes it or not, is with that second unit, because aside from Nene, you got all these young guys, and between Tyler Ennis, Sam Decker, and KJ McDaniels, unless you get up in their grill and tell them, when you're open, you shoot the ball. Don't make the extra pass. Don't try, because you know what's going to happen? If you don't shoot the open shot and you move it one more position around the horn, the defense is going to recover. They're going to play better D. The shot's going to be tougher, and they're not going to make as many shots anyway. Yeah. So when you get your hands on the ball and someone and they swing it around you and you're wide open, you have to shoot it.
Yeah. So you basically, I mean, because the only one when I watched the game that took advantage of his minutes was KJ McDaniel. I think he had 12, 13 minutes to score 11 points?
A lot of it was just on putbacks because he hustled.
Because he hustled.
I like his hustles, and I like him finishing on the break. But again, when you swing it, now he did make a three last night, and he did finally what everybody has to do, and that is whether you feel confident in it or not. If they swing it to you and you're wide open on the three, you got to let that thing fly.
Because you're a pro.
That's right.
You shouldn't miss that shot.
Right. But at the same time, there are guys, I think Sam Decker's all mental. And people don't believe me when I say this, but I've seen this happen with Jermaine Taylor. I've seen it happen with the best three-point shooter in college one year in Steve Novak. I've seen it with a lot of guys. When you get used to playing with that synthetic ball that they play with in college and you come to the league, and the league uses basically the equivalent of a medicine ball is what it feels like when you switch from that college ball to an all-leather ball, wide-channel ball, heavier ball, it's an adjustment. And it takes a lot of guys from 6 weeks to sometimes half a season to try and get that same kind of touch they had with a synthetic ball. Well, Decker came in last year, and he was a good three-point shooter in college. But when he started shooting with that NBA ball, it was a whole different story. Well, and then mentally, he decided every time he touched the ball, he was worried about it. He was thinking about it. And half the battle, as you know in any sport, is the mental aspect. When those gears start grinding, and every time you touch it, you start thinking, I don't want to shoot it. I don't want to shoot it. Like a hot potato. Got to get rid of it. Got to get rid of it. That's not Sam Decker. And he stopped doing what he did well, which is use his athleticism. Yeah. Put it on the floor. Take someone to the basket. Show them you got a jumping ability and strength and you can defend. He forgot about all of that because he was so worried about the fact he couldn't make shots. Well, I don't think he's ever recovered.
Well, I didn't realize the ball. I know in football, the ball is a big difference for quarterbacks, quarterbacks and sometimes running backs. But I didn't realize the ball was that much different from
absolutely
NBA and NBA in college. I just always thought it was a standard size ball that you use on every level.
No, so you know, I mean, first of all, it's not leather. So the college ball is that synthetic material. If you're a Nike team, you have to play with a Nike ball, which is synthetic.
Yeah.
A lot of other people use either the Spalding or the Wilson. Mm-hmm. And they're real tactified. They're kind of grippy. But when they hit the rim, because of that non-leather, when it gets sweaty and wet, gets a little slippery.
Yeah.
And so you got to be a better shooter because it slides off the rim. It doesn't grab the rim when it hits it and kind of sit soft.
Yeah.
It'll slide off and it'll kind of honeycomb through the cylinder and you'll miss shots, especially if you have a tighter rim. The big thing with a basketball is, you know, you have to learn more height gets a softer shot. With that synthetic ball, you don't think about that because as long as it hits the rim at some point, it'll grip it enough to where you might get a soft roll out of it. You're not getting that with an NBA ball, and the weight is different, the feel is different. And it's a bigger factor than people realize. So, from that standpoint alone, Jermaine Taylor was second leading scorer in the country.
Yeah.
And it baffled him.
Because I always saw, I never knew, but I remember when, watching Rashad Lewis, we rehabbed at the same place. Mm-hmm. And watching Rashad take his shots, you know, it was a bunch of basketballs over here, but he'd always bring his own ball in. And I'm like, he's like, I got to shoot with this ball. And I'm like, what's the difference? Is a basketball is a basketball. But now that you explain that, and I'm glad because some listeners probably don't know.
That's right. Raheel just tweeted in too the fact that he said, agreed, the NBA ball adjustment sucks. It's a big deal.
Yeah.
It really is because, you know, and I play a lot of basketball and I still play a lot of city leagues. With the Rockets guys, the ex-Rockets guys, they all want to play with that NBA ball because you develop a feel. But essentially, the best way I can say it too from a fundamental standpoint is because the college ball is lighter, you don't have to put the hand in the cookie jar. You don't have to have it's a wrist flick.
Yeah.
If you got any strength at all, you can get it there with a smooth rotation and it's just a flick of your wrist. With the NBA ball, when you start moving out by that 3-point line, you got to put a little something behind it.
You got to bend your knees.
Yes, so you got to use your knees. You got to keep your elbow in. You got to put the hand in the cookie jar and you got to get it higher because you need that soft, backspin and you need soft touch when it comes down because if it hits the rim like the college ball, you're not going to have as much a chance of it going in.
Yeah, it's the same thing. I think it's the same thing when everybody always questions, like, Phillip Rivers' mechanics. And they say, well, why is his mechanics that way? Well, his first football he ever gave him was the NFL football. So it wasn't like he gave him a high school ball or a college ball. He gave him NFL football. So his mechanics ended up where he was trying to push the ball.
Yeah, because it's a heavier ball.
It's a heavier ball. So that makes it, for my language, it makes a whole lot better. And now I need to go find me NBA ball so I can test it out myself.
I got some for you. Don't worry about that. That's a big thing as well. But, I mean, I'm looking at this, and I thought from a starting lineup perspective, and the way they started out last night in the first quarter, I said, hey, man, they did what they had to do. Regardless of if they're going to defend or not, if you put shooters around James Harden, you got a shot. And when Anderson and Gordon started making shots and James got off to that hot start kicking the ball out, James – that's great. You needed that because James has to have the belief that when I kick it out, guys are going to make shots. Last year when it was Corey Brewer and Ariza and all those guys and they couldn't make a three, he got frustrated. He quit doing it. But if you can get off to a quick start and you can distribute the ball to guys that make shots, now you've got Harden playing the way he's supposed to play. And then you've got guys that feel confident that, you know, I'm not going to get yelled at when I shoot this. I'm going to be encouraged to shoot this because you need those guys to open up the floor for Harden. Well, in the first half, it showed they had 30-plus points in both quarters, and they put up a big number. But in the second half, they only scored 43 points. And a lot of that was because the guys around Harden can't shoot.
They can't shoot. But, I mean, in the first half, you saw Julius Randle play pretty well, which kept them in the game when the Rockets were doing all that scoring they were doing.
Yeah, I mean, I think the big thing, too, was Russell got off to a quick start. Russell put up in the first quarter, I think he had 12 in the first quarter right off the bat, and then we had to see all of the freaking theatrics.
Yeah.
But the fact of the matter is, look, coming out of college, everybody knows. The kid's got a world of talent. It's just I don't like NBA play to look like the Rucker League.
Yeah.
I think there's got to be more structure, especially if you want to win long-term over the course of a season. But I'll tell you what. They made it look like it can work just fine in L.A.
And I believe it can. I mean, with young talent like that, you can't. It's something you can't make up for having young legs, lots of energy. You can play like that all day long.
Nick said that too, but it didn't work out the same way. 713-780-ESPN. If you want to talk hoops, we're here to talk hoops. If you want to talk World Series, we'll talk about that next. If you want to talk about the Texans, we'll talk about that all day, as well as your favorite college team and more. ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Hey, what do you know? Two segments in and plenty to go. It's JB and Trap J and Quick Nick behind the glass. Based on the overwhelming calls we've had, you guys really want to talk about your favorite team, the Houston Rockets. I told you before the season even started a lot of things that are already coming to fruition. I also told you that instead of hashtag pursuit, it should be hashtag pursuit of the 8 spot. Nick is not happy with me again because I keep it real. But just like I did on Twitter and just like I did with Mario Eli yesterday and Rio did too, we're going to give you honest Rockets talk. And that is exactly what you need to realize that has been missing in this marketplace. You're not going to get that anywhere else because everywhere else there's going to be the principal looking over their shoulder with a ruler ready to slap their hands and pop their mouths. Well, that's not happening here. Plus, I got the best bodyguard in the business to my left. But overall, this could be a dumpster fire in a hurry if they don't figure out a tighter rotation, start playing some defense, and getting some guys to make some shots. And, Nick, I know you're a big fan. I know you're going to the game Saturday night at home. I know that, you know, you believe in this, you know, in the fact that you've grown up a Rockets fan. I'm not saying this because I want to say it, but from what I see and what they needed to improve on, both from the standpoint you got a coach, when you had the opportunity to get a coach that also coached both sides of the basketball, you got a coach that was just all about offense. And I was buying in that based on what I saw in the preseason, I gave him a shot. Based on what I saw last night, they are so far away from playing quality defense, even just average defense in the NBA. That's going to be a huge problem.
I think we were being more optimistic yesterday. We're leaning more towards like the number 6 spot. And then after...
I wasn't.
Well, Barry was probably.
Well, there you go. Barry also told me that Russell Westbrook wasn't an MVP candidate. And based on what I saw last night, he's probably right up there with Anthony Davis and James Harden.
I agree.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I guess you're... I'm for sure. Like, I was actually feeling a little bit more optimistic, but when you let them put 38 points in the first quarter and it's the Lakers, you got to be concerned.
Why
for
you have
sure.
to say it's the Lakers?
It's the Lakers.
They've had high draft picks for the last few years. I mean, yeah, they were. I mean, with Kobe, they kind of fell off, but
they had players performing that really wasn't like, what's his name, had a team high. Clarkson, I think. He had 25 points. He went crazy in the fourth quarter. He's never really gone crazy like that ever, like against any team.
Yeah, but at the end of the day, you can't stop Julian Randle in the post because you have no post players.
Well, I don't know. I just think you just expect more of the Rockets, you know, at this point.
Why? What have they shown us in the last...
Well, 2 years ago, they were in the Western Conference Finals.
Yeah,
I was there.
Outside of 2 years ago, what have they shown us? What did they show us last year to have
bigger... Oh, so you're Janet Jackson now. What have you done for me lately?
What have you done... Yeah, I like that.
But I'm just saying, lately is within a two and a half year window. I mean, within two years ago, they were in the Western Conference Finals.
Yeah, but why'd they lose?
I can tell you that, but you don't have enough time, and the listeners don't want to hear it.
The listeners need to hear it.
Well, no, because part of it was the fact that Dwight got hurt. Yeah. Dwight was your best player in the playoffs.
Yeah.
And they had a 16-point lead in the second quarter against Golden State, and they were taking it right to the Warriors, and he tweaked that knee way more than you even knew at the time, and it changed the series. The Rockets were the hot team. Should they have beaten the Clippers? Probably not. But the fact that they did, we've talked about this, made them even hotter. Because now, from a confidence standpoint, they felt like they were invincible. And they came in rolling in one of the – probably in that year was the toughest arena to play in the league. And they came in pumping a 20-point lead after one and just taking it to the team with the best record in the league. And then Dwight got hurt. And the beard never showed up. But at the same time, the first two home games for the Warriors should have been Rockets wins.
They should have been.
Could have been Rockets wins, but should have, would have, could have gets you nothing. It, but I'm just saying, you want. I mean, that was the year that they could have really put the Rockets back on the map, because that was, everybody was ripe for the picking at that point. But once Golden State kind of settled in and realized, okay, regardless of whether we let them off the hook a little bit or whatever happened, we're back in the driver's seat, then they took control.
Well, I mean, here's the thing. Now, dumpster fire was probably the best quote you gave me just a second ago when you called it a dumpster fire. For the simple fact is, we all know if you don't play defense, you can't win games in this league. Regardless of how good or how many MVP candidates you got on your team or anything, if you don't play defense, you can't win. And if you're giving up, if you're giving up 115 points, 120 points in a game, or you scoring 115 and lose, that's a problem. That's like the 1998-99 UCLA team where you said like score 50 points on foot. And,
well, that's what essentially what I've said for the last couple weeks is I have no doubt in my mind that James Harden's an MVP candidate, going to have greater numbers he's had in his entire career because of D'Antoni's system. And because of that system, there's no question in my mind they can score 116 points a game. The only thing that I keep saying is that doesn't mean that the opponent's not going to score 117 because they can't stop anyone. And like you and I talked about off the air, and we talked about it in the first segment, if you don't have a low post score and any low post defense, and Nene, look, I liked him at a point in his career. I know they got a steal on him. He's backing up Capella, but the fact of the matter is, you get anybody with any kind of athleticism and physicality in the low post, they got no shot of stopping them.
And at all. I mean, low post, I always was taught the basketball game is built from the inside out, on defense and on offense. You know what I mean? If you have a big body on the inside, you can stop a lot of people. Mm-hmm. You can make people change shots. You see what Anthony Davis does best on the inside is make people, even if he doesn't cause them a miss, they always have to change their trajectory of the shot. They have to change their approach to the basket. And if you don't have anybody to do that, then they're going to score at will. If you don't have anybody in on the other end, To be able to be that body, to be that enforcer, to be that guy who say, you know what, he's on the block. We're going to have to play him hard today. Because at any time he can put up 30 points, they don't have anybody like that. And that's one of the reasons. I mean, I know Dwight was hurt. I know Dwight was banged up, and you kind of, you know, you had to, at the time, you got to let him go. Mm-hmm. But in my opinion, you still probably pay a little bit less or maybe even a little bit more just for his presence alone.
Yeah, you know, it's different because of the fact that, you know, you were talking about, look, I agree with you from the standpoint of inside out. I believe on the defensive side of the basketball, for sure, you start with interior defense. Because if you can shut down the paint and you can shut down anybody in the low post, and then you can, the Rockets proved this a couple years ago when Calvin Sampson was the assistant coach. They had no bigs, but what they did was they all helped together to seal the middle, just clog it up so no one could get dribble penetration and no one could easy baskets. Then what you got to do is you got to hustle your ass off, because then when they kick it out to the open shooter, you got to contest. But the Rockets were able to find a way to do that well enough to win more games than they lost. They had a good year under Kevin McHale that year. What I'm seeing out of this team here, and what I disagree with you on, is I don't believe in this league, in this day and age, that the offense starts from inside out. Now, if you have a low post, and even with a guy like Davis, who gave you an unbelievable box score last night, and he's a phenomenal player, he's gotten enamored with the three-point shot, too, to where he likes to face the basket a lot more than he likes to put his booty on the post, too. Also because he's not the thickest of guys, right? But if you have a legitimate low post stud center, then you can start inside out. But those are few and far between compared to where the league used to be. So I would say offensively, they're fine as long as their pace doesn't backfire in their face. What I mean by that is play fast, but play to a fast tempo, which also allows you to score easily. If you're playing fast, but your guys aren't able to make those open shots I'm talking about, now you're playing too fast. or you got to play faster. You either got to play 100 miles an hour and hope everything finishes at the rim, or you've got to make sure that you take seams, dribble penetration is your first option on every possession, and James Harden's not going to kick the ball out front anymore because he realizes we don't have enough shooters around. Now, I thought the additions of Gordon and Anderson were enough to say now they got shooters all the way around. But you remember when the Rockets had Dream? You had the best low post player in the game. But whenever he got doubled, he knew it didn't matter which direction he threw it out because everybody on the perimeter could shoot.
Yeah, Kenny, Big Shot Bob, he had all
Sam Cassell,
Mario Elie.
He had all those guys. I'm looking at this going, okay, Trevor's streaky, but if Beverly's hurt, so now you add an extra shooter with Gordon. If you put Gordon and Anderson around the perimeter and Trevor, three of your four guys can knock down a three. But Trevor struggled last night, 2 for 8, and once he doesn't make his first one or first two, then he bails on it too a little bit. Yeah. And the other guys, they were hovering around 50%. I don't think Anderson was used at the right times. I think a lot of times, James, you were never able to give James adequate rest because every time you tried, the Lakers made a run. And before he could even get his sweats buttoned up, they had him back in the game.
So do you think with his 34 minutes that he played, you think they should have backed that down and just used him different ways? From just having him out there when he had him out there? Because I know you said you didn't like the way they used him.
Yeah, I think you've got to space his minutes a little bit more. I know that you didn't want to sit him down in the first quarter because he had all the assists rolling and he was in his flow. But then at some point, give him the extended rest earlier because you're going to need him. It showed in the second half. He played a majority of the first half, put up great numbers, and the Rockets put up 71 or 72 in the first half. When he ran out of gas, because now we're early in the season, and he still doesn't have his full legs underneath him, 43 in the second half is also a product of a tired James Harden, who started to run out of juice and realized the shooters around him weren't knocking down shots. That's a double negative. That cost them more than anything.
No question. I mean, like you said, 72 in the first half, 40-something in the second half, 43 in the second half, 18 points. My thing, big thing is 18 points in the fourth quarter when you got these young guys who basically, like you said, are playing Rucker Park ball, put up 30 in with basically just isolation ball play.
Yep.
And you couldn't do anything about it. So you got I understand that you got to space him out a little bit more. But then at the same time, I question how good a shape is he in right now. To be able to,
that was the thing, and we'll talk about that too. Everybody, the broadcaster was saying what great shape he was in, and when I looked at him warming up, I mean, he was a little thick in the middle.
He looked big to me.
Yeah, and I think a lot of guys feel like that that last 5 pounds or whatever, you can always work it off early in the season.
But why didn't you work it off in the offseason?
Yeah, he's definitely, his legs just definitely aren't where they need to be. But I look at, you know, some of you guys are Nestor wanted to shut up Clarkson last night. Well, the only way to shut him up is to stop him, and no one wanted to step up and do that. And then Matt Hurst said, how could the Rockets not find someone to replace Corey Brewer? The man's a dumpster fire. He used that word. The problem is that Corey Brewer signed for 3 years at an exorbitant amount of money for other teams in the league to want to take on. Because in order to take that on, you've got to be effective. And he wasn't last year, so you can't get rid of him. In a nutshell, those are those two questions. Those are two answers. You want to reach us, hit Twitter, 713-780-ESPN gets you on the phone. We're here till 4, ESPN 97.5.
Listening to ESPN 97.5.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Travis just said he got a tweet that said, what does leadership have to do with missing open shots? Well, if you look at the Oklahoma City game, what it means is the guy that's the leader gets in your ass and says, you know what? I'm going to do this about 2 or 3 more times. And if you make the shot, you're going to see the ball again. And if you don't, you're not. It's that simple.
And that's the difference. When you look at all the great ones, outside of LeBron, you ain't never seen LeBron really go off on none of his guys. I think LeBron takes the new age approach with the sub-tweets. You know, when he talked about Kevin Love, he talked about different guys. When you look at Jordan, you look at Kobe, you look at those guys, and they challenged you to be better. And if you didn't get better, you wasn't going to see the ball. You might not even seen the court, or we're going to get you off the team. And that's what, in order for this team to take the next step, I think James Harden has to own that position and has to say, listen, being average is not an option. If you're going to be average, you'll prepare average. You're going to play average. But if you're prepared great, you'll be great.
Yeah, I mean, that's part of it, Trap. You're absolutely right. I think the other part of it is, too, that the maturation of a superstar talent into a true superstar and leader instead of just, as I said, the term I created here, the analytic superstar that just worries about getting his numbers and puts up good numbers,
yeah,
is leadership, making people around you better, how you carry yourself on and off the floor, and how you earn the respect of your locker room and your coaching staff, because with that, you will get the fans. But based on the fact that he's already digging out of holes because of the immaturity of the past, and the fact that at least he had someone to blame in years past when he had a Dwight Howard, when he had a second superstar, when you could look at somebody else and say, it's not James because the numbers are there. It's got to be that guy. It's got to be Dwight. It's got to be someone else. Guess what? That scapegoat is gone now.
And the problems are still there. So that
That's
means,
right.
So now it's gotta be on you.
No matter what numbers you put up, it's going to still fall on your shoulders, because now it's how much of a leader have you become? How have you made your team better? How have you taken guys under your wing and said, look, man, to the young guys, I'm not going to, you know, because we all know part of being a good leader is there are some guys you get up in their grill and they can take it, and other guys you got to handle with kid gloves. But one way or another, get to these young guys and say, which guy is which way, and I got to get to them, because without them, I can't succeed. And we can't succeed as a team, because there is no I in team. There's an M and an E, and he wears 13.
Yeah.
But everything else in order to be a successful team is based around the fact that it's we before me. That's not what's happening here. You got one stud thoroughbred that's going to run through everybody. And you, right now, you got a bunch of mares and a bunch of real young ponies, and there's no chemistry, there's no mix, and there's no defense.
Well, and the defense, I think, is like we talked about, the biggest issue. And part of the leadership is you got to show them guys something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can't demand defense. And I, you know, I was talking to one of my homeboys today. And the first thing he said, I said, well, yeah, well, they gave up all these points. He's not playing defense. Nobody's playing defense. And they said, well, forget James Harden playing defense. That's gone. We know he's not going to play defense. But he said, the rest of them guys need to step up and play defense. I said, yeah, but if your leader, if the guy you look to make decisions to make us better, if he's not giving the same effort on both sides of the court that you are, you might not be making the shot.
You had a guy to blame, but also that guy was the guy that you would never deny the fact that he was defending.
Yeah.
He was guarding the tin, he was guarding the middle, he was doing all those things. Offensively was a problem, he was challenged.
Yeah.
But defensively, you never questioned Dwight Howard. Now he's gone. So what I saw in the preseason, and Mario and I talked about it yesterday, what I saw which impressed me was, you're going to play fast on one end, but so is the other team coming back at you. If you can squeeze them starting at midcourt, and kind of suck the life out of their break, slow them down enough to where they have to play a little half court, you catch your breath, they have to work harder on offense, and it makes better basketball for you as a team, and it looks like you're playing defense even if you're not, if that makes sense. But if you just spread it out and you don't get back on defense and you let that team play your style and beat you at your own game, now you're working doubly hard. They're only running that fast because they have opportunities on the break that you're giving them because you're not getting back.
Because you're not, you have no cohesiveness. You just, everybody is on different levels. Everybody is not playing the same style of ball. And that has to be fixed.
Well, and that's the thing too. It's not their style, the opponent. That's not their style. That's not their preferred style of play. There's a lot of young teams like the Lakers that would love to get out on the break. But if they don't, they realize, hey, we're just going to get it over midcourt, and we're going to start working some offensive things. Now, the Lakers didn't run any sets last night that I saw. But most teams that you're going to face, and again, I said this in the first segment, I'll say it because David tweeted me and asked, you know, how's it going to turn out when the Rockets play against a team that plays defense and score? I said that. When you get a team that executes on one end, if not both ends, especially on the offensive end, it's going to be a disaster.
It is. The thing is, and you use the Spurs to be for everybody who wasn't there listening while we were right. In the lobby. The Spurs play on both ends. The Spurs do the right things on both ends.
Right.
And if you can't, like you said, if you can't do your job in transition, if you can't do your job in half court sets, if you can't do your job on the back end, then you're not going to win games. So I mean, it's like you say, it should be the pursuit of eight. Mm-hmm. Well, right now they're pursuing just the talk for eight.
Yeah. Yeah, they're looking at the lottery right now unless they fix some things. And the thing is a team like the Spurs is going to backdoor cut you to death. They're going to exploit every possible option. They're going to have cutters going through the middle. They're going to have guys flashing at the high post. This isn't just about slowing down a break with the Spurs. This is, they will dissect you like a surgeon because they are well coached, because they are disciplined and because they have shooters.
And they prepare well.
Absolutely. So, again, we'll let that go for now. If you guys want to continue to talk about the Rockets, we certainly can. But what impressed you last night? What stood out in your guys' mind in watching now 2 days of NBA basketball? Are there surprises? I said all along I thought Westbrook would be an MVP candidate. He was. I could not believe that the game that the Brow had, but it just shows how good he is, but he's got no one around him. Mm-hmm. And New Orleans spent a lot of money, unfortunately. It's a tough situation with Drew Holiday. But overall, what they have going on in New Orleans doesn't look like there's any cohesiveness there either. But you got two MVP candidates, in my mind, in Davis and Westbrook to go along with the obvious choices, which are Harden and LeBron, and then whoever you pick in Golden State. But they'll right the ship quicker rather than slower.
Miles Turner
had one good game.
Did you expect that out of him?
I didn't expect that out of him, but I'm not going to put him in as an MVP.
No, I'm not saying, MVP. I'm speaking on what did you like
that
about the first 2 days.
That was one of my sleepers for the Eastern Conference, for a team that quietly added what they needed, got better where they had deficiencies, and looked really good. I like what Indiana's got because they got a superstar in Paul George,
yes. But
they put good quality above average players around him, and they got some depth. So I like what Indiana's done. But tell me what stood out in your mind as to what was the good, what was the bad, what was the ugly, what you liked, what you didn't like. Travis and I love to talk basketball with you if you want. We can also talk football, but we'll talk World Series next because the World Series is going to be a series, which I'm happy about.
It's going to go 7 games.
And I'm telling you what, my man Schwarber, if there isn't a better, that is the best story going right now.
Yeah.
And the fact that a guy who had an ACL and an MCL is not only playing, but he's raking. The way he's hitting the ball, that fired me up. I'm like, that is when you dig deep and you work hard and you see results. That's phenomenal.
And you see why they bought, why they make sure he got back up. You see why, and they talk about what type of clubhouse guy he was. But he showed what type of baseball player he was.
Yeah, no question about it. And Arrieta pitched his tail off, had a no-no into the first out of the sixth inning before it got away from him.
Yep.
So the Cubs got what they needed. They got a split. The next three are in Wrigley. It's going to be absolute chaos and craziness in the Windy City. We should have a hell of a series on our hands. A lot of you guys don't care. Some of you do. So let us know if you want to talk about the World Series because it was fun watching those games. And Travis and I love talking baseball. Although, you know, we can always go back to the old standby. If you want to talk football, we're here for you, too. 713-780-ESPN. Or head on over to our Twitter accounts, and we'll answer your questions and or comments. We're here till 4, ESPN 97.5.
Listen what I say.
ESPN 97.5.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams July Summer Sale and get 30% off paints and stains July 18th through the 28th. With prices starting at $34.29, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.